What up, y'all? I know it's been a minute. The Loki Theory podcast has been a while, bro, but you know what I'm saying? Life happened, so I had to put the Loki Theory podcast on pause. But I'm back at it again. I'm going to be more active on it since now the UFC and MMA in general is very, very fucking crazy at the moment. So pretty sure like brand new spanking new episodes for the podcast, and I'm gonna come back to it. Just hope, just stay patient, bro. I'm coming back. So yeah, man, today we're gonna talk about UFC 223 in Brooklyn, New York, I believe. We're gonna talk about a little bit about that Conor McGregor stuff, other shit that's been going on, you know. But yeah, man, just keep it up. Stay tuned, bro. I'ma come back in a little bit, and you're gonna kick off the episode, yo. So listen up. Alright, y'all, I'm back. But before we get into the main event, I want to talk about what happened in New York. The Conor McGregor situation, and it's fucked up, in my opinion, honestly. Well, if I'm going to be honest, it's one of the most gangster shit I ever seen. Like, yo, yo, a bunch of fucking Irish and a bunch of fucking Russians about to brawl in the fucking, parking lot with a bus, even though, like, the Russians didn't get the fuck out of the bus, which I thought it was suspect for a bit. But, you know, let's not get into that. But how does this start? This starts, I think, a couple of months ago or some shit like that. Because, y'all know that Khabib and fucking Conor have like so-called quote-unquote beef. It's not really beef, but it's misunderstandings. It's what it is. So basically what happened is that Artem Lobov, long training partner of Conor McGregor, apparently was on Skype or doing some type of interview where he's talking, he's saying, oh, you know, how many times Khabib pulled out, whatever, four times, and la la la, and Conor never pulled out, Conor finds injured, la la la, so who's chicken, then who, how you call Conor chicken, Conor's the champion, la 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 la, and then Khabib ran into Artem Lobov, and because Artem Lobov was supposed to fight Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres, with that fight got canceled, but I'll explain later on. So they had an altercation. It was like mad motherfuckers surrounding fucking Artem, and like, oh yeah, you called me a bitch, and then oh, you called me this, and then Artem was like, oh no, I didn't call you that, bro. That didn't happen. Ooh la la la. So he kind of got G-checked a little bit. But from what I saw in the interview, he didn't really call Khabib a bitch. Maybe it was like through interpretation, I don't know. But that's what happened. So Conor comes back, apparently, like, knowing what the fuck happened, comes through with the crew, and like, yo, like, swarms the bus. Everybody, like, Khabib and his team and other fighters are in the bus, and we're like, yo, come out of the bus, la la la, come out of the bus. He's in his fucking Irish dudes over there, most of them are from the SBG camp and shit. We're like, yo, get the fuck out the bus, la la la, get the fuck out the bus. And like, yo, they didn't do it. They didn't come out of the bus because apparently, the guy like, oh no, you can't come out of the bus, la 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 la. And then Conor picks up a dolly or some type of shit and throws it at the fucking window at the bus. It's one of the most gangster shit I've ever seen. So yeah, so when Conor does that shit, He throws that fucking thing. I don't know what the fuck it's called. I think it's a dolly or some shit like that. I don't know. If you know, let me know. But like, he throws that shit at the window of the bus. Big ass fucking crack. Brah. Just every fighter gets injured. Fucking Michael Chiesa gets, because he was supposed to fight Anthony Pettis, gets glass on his fucking face. Mad lacerations and shit. Rose got shook up a little bit. Apparently, fucking, Ray Borg was supposed to fight the Mexican guy. I've been following him for a while. I know his name. I'm forgetting his name now. I think he got glass on his eye. Even though when you look at the video, he looks perfectly fine, but because he's wearing glasses and nothing on. And people say, oh, yeah, you're just faking for the check. But no, apparently show a photo or video of him, of his eye, and it's all fucked up and shit. So on that part, I cannot respect what Conor McGregor done, because he injured those fighters, and we didn't get the opportunity to see high quality fights. The Chiesa and Pettis fight, that would have been great. The Ray Borg versus the Mexican guy, I'm sorry, I'll remember his name. I'm a big fan of that guy. Just forget his fucking name. His nickname is the Assassin Baby. If you know, you know. But we got robbed of those fights, and you know, it's literally a criminal offense. He got arrested. He turned himself in. But I think he got out on bail. I think it was $50,000 and shit. So, but I think he got charged with assault and some other shit. So, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to fight, if he's going to go to jail. We're still waiting on that. Soon we'll probably find out. But yeah, man, it's fucking crazy. Because, yo, apparently all the Russian dudes, Khabib's camp, wanted to get the fuck out. Like, oh, we're going to kill these guys. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. La, 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 la. And then the guy, I think the bus driver or some shit, didn't want to let him out. So they didn't have the opportunity. Then later on, Khabib was like, oh, hey, you want to fight with me? That's not how he talks, but like, hey, you know, hey, chicken, you want to fight with me? Send a location, I will show up, and la la la. And I'm like, okay, fuck this, bro. But yo, not gonna lie, if Conor like comes back, I'm like, oh yo, I want Khabib in Russia, my G, it's gonna be the best UFC card ever. It'll be like the biggest card ever. It'll be the biggest fight. So much hype behind that fight. It's gonna be fucking crazy. But you know, that's what it is. Yo, back to the UFC 223. Basically, it was supposed to be Tony Ferguson versus Khabib Nurmagomedov for the lightweight title. But this is how the UFC 155 is in shambles, because Conor beat Eddie Alvarez, became the UFC lightweight champ, then didn't defend the title for 500 days. Because Tony was kind of supposed to be next. Khabib was somewhere. But, like, Tony wanted to fight, and then they had the interim with Kevin Lee and Tony Ferguson. Tony wins, becomes the interim lightweight champ. Then Conor fights Mayweather, just doesn't come back, doesn't even say when. He says, oh, yeah, I'll come back, and la, 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 but doesn't really. Then we have Khabib, which was scheduled. Khabib comes back, and they were scheduled to fight at UFC 209. That falls through because Khabib has some issues with weight. Then everybody was bummed. Even I was super pissed. I was like, oh man, what the fuck? This fight is not happening. What the fuck? And fast forward a couple of months, we're here at UFC 223, which is like, everybody was like, yo, Khabib and Tony, they're going to fight finally. This is like the fourth time now, I think. And then it just falls through. It just falls through. Tony gets fucking injured because he was wearing glasses inside somewhere because he saw some guy. And then tripped on some wires and fucked up his knee. He just got surgery. I think underwent surgery. It was successful. Thank God. But you know what I'm saying? It was like, I remember talking to a friend of mine. And I was saying like, bro, I don't want to see this fight ever again. Which I do really want to, but I don't want to have like having to go through the wait. It has to be like a quick thing. It's like, oh, they're gonna fight in, I don't know, 2 weeks or some shit like that. Nah, I cannot wait. It's like something happens, because everybody was like, oh, the more you talk about the fight, the more you jinx it. Oh, you don't want to talk about it, you jinx it. Oh, everybody was like, oh, we hope they make it. And when you thought it was making it, because it was like it was a day or 2 days before weigh-ins, man, and this shit happens. Which is fucking crazy. But then Max Holloway steps in. Max Holloway, in 6 days' notice, is like, yo, bro, I'll do this. Fuck it. And I was like, oh, shit, fuck. Max Holloway's coming to fight? Oh, this is interesting now. This is going to be some shit. And then Max Holloway gets fucking... And then the fucking New York Athletic Commission says, oh, Max Holloway can't fight because, you know, he can't make weight. Or he's not medically cleared to make weight. Which I heard it was some bullshit. Because it's New York being New York, and they didn't allow Max Holloway. Apparently, he could do it, but they just didn't want him to do it. But, you know, because, like, Max Holloway never really had issues making weight that I know of. But I guess this is a new thing now. But what else was there? Then Max Holloway falls through. Then Khabib has, like, what? Three options. He gets three options. They asked fucking Anthony Pettis. Because Anthony Pettis was there, and I thought Anthony Pettis was going to be next. Because that would have made way sense. He has a full camp, I think. Yeah, well, he was training for a three-round fight. But, you know, former lightweight champ, why not? Why not? Fucking striker, fucking why not? Didn't work because I think he was asking for $1 million. He was asking for $1 million, and the UFC's like, nah, fuck that. And then, which is like, I don't know, Anthony Pettis, why you asking? I think the belt should be more worthy than £1 million, but whatever. Fuck that shit. I think the fighter could be like, oh, I'm getting fucked up, so I need my money. But I don't know, that didn't work. Then it was Paul Felder, which the UFC is like, oh, yeah, but you're not ranked. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, why not give Paul Felder a chance? And I'm like, they gave it to, and finally they give it to Balls of Steel, Al Iaquinta. Let's give props to Al Iaquinta right there. Fucking slow cap. I wish I could clap, but I'm recording this. But yeah, Balls of Steel Iaquinta steps up to fight Khabib in the main event, which I'll break down later on. But that's how this UFC event 223 just became fucking, just turned into shambles. It started on something really good, and then it's just, nah, fuck it. It's like the universe, oh, you want this to happen? Nah, nigga, it ain't happening, bro. It ain't happening. But whatever, that's that. And so let's go back to UFC 223 and do a little armchair breakdown of what happened. Pretty good fights today, yo. Pretty good fights in that event. I really enjoyed that fucking event, bro. It was nice. Four fights, well, actually three fights, not counting the championship fights, but the three fights that I thought they were like the best fights of the night were the Olivier. I'm gonna butcher this guy's name. It's Oliver Aubin Mercier. He's one of those like French Canadian dudes and shit. He trains at a TriStar. Sorry about that. I had smoke, but he finished a veteran with a fucking body shot. It was like, in the first round, it was like nothing. You just put him out. Pop, 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 pop. Straight to a knee, straight to the solar plexus. And the guy just folded it like nothing. It was great. I think he got fight of the night. Props to him. But I really want to talk about the Zabit. Oh, man. These Russians, bro. Zabit Magomed Sharipov. Yeah, Zabit Magomed Sharipov versus Kyle Bosniak. Which is featherweight bout. Really, really interesting in this guy. This is a beat guy. This guy's gonna cause a lot of troubles for the 145 division. He's like Russian, 6 foot, reach, and can like fight like Anthony Pettis. Similarly, he has like a little bit of that karate taekwondo style. Which he uses a lot of flashy kicks, uses a lot of side kicks, used a lot of side kicks in the fight, a lot of spinning back side kick, spinning back kicks, and not just regular spinning back kicks, spinning back kicks, with timing, whilst Kyle was coming back or going forward. He landed a very good one when Kyle was just about to go in. Which is props to Kyle Bosniak. So that guy's a true fucking warrior. Didn't give a fuck. Even though he was getting hit, even though he was getting bloody, he kept on marching in. I'm like, nah, fuck this, bro. We're gonna brawl. We're gonna fucking brawl. What else happened? He's gonna be very hard to figure out because he's so tall, and with his reach, like a lot of featherweights are not as big. And even though in the beginning of the fight, Kyle was trying to do like a bob and weave, sort of Mike Tyson style, trying to get away from the shots, but even though when he was trying to connect with his punches, he couldn't really reach Zabit because he's so tall and he uses his distance so well. Landed some good kicks, did some cool flashy stuff, landed some really good takedowns as well. I think he's and from what I hear from his camp, because he trains with Barboza and Alvarez and Mark Henry and those guys, and they're saying this guy's a motherfucker in the gym. So this could be a new motherfucker in 145. So I don't know. Maybe I want to see him fight a wrestler, like a wrestler. See if he can, like, I don't know. Maybe a Llamas. Maybe what's that guy? What's that guy that got knocked? Fucking the guy from Team Alpha Male, the bald dude. I forget his name, but yeah, I want to see him face a very strong wrestler, see how he handles himself and shit. But yeah, that was a good fight. What else? The Renato Moicano fight. The Renato Moicano versus Calvin Kattar. That's a great fight to me because it showed a very, very good level of fucking striking. Because Moicano was just landing leg kicks like nothing, just pa, 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 pa. Very good inside leg kicks. Calvin Kattar was not checking kicks at all. Even Joe Rogan was like, bro, you gotta learn how to check leg kicks. And apparently Calvin Kattar used to be in like a very good Muay Thai kickboxing gym. But I don't know. I guess when you don't practice checking and those type of striking often, or you just stop doing that, you just kind of forget. Because like he's getting chopped at the leg like nothing. Just pop, pop, pop. Pop, pop. And those were hurting. And like, yo, Renato Moicano striking was on point that fight. He won a decision. Yeah, man, it's a great fight. So to me, those were like the best fights, not counting the title fights. On to the co-main event, which was Rosma Namajunas versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk for the strawweight belt or strawweight title, whatever. Very, very, very different from the first fight. In the first fight, mind you, Joanna said, "Oh yeah, weight issues and shit," and you know, she like was thirsty and shit, didn't have water, very, very dehydrated. Just got tagged by fucking Rose once, and then stopped the second time in the first round. Like nothing, and then Rose became champion. On the second fight, it was a bit different. Joanna was a bit more composed in the beginning, but Rose, we got to see that her striking is no joke. Cause maybe you could say, "Oh, you beat the champion. Oh, it was lucky." La la la. Joanna would say, "Oh yeah, she got lucky, but I'll get my belt back." La la la. But we got to see that that was not really the case. Like, Rose striking was on point in the first two rounds. She was very elusive, very evasive. Joanna couldn't really tag her a lot. That left hand of Rose just kept on fucking smashing Joanna's face for the first two rounds. Joanna was like dazed. She couldn't do much about it. She couldn't do shit about it in the beginning. Like, straight fucking her up. Pop, pop, pop. And just before even, and when she finished the combination, when Joanna was about to return with counters, just like Rose was nowhere to be seen. She would just like slide away, just like a figure skater. It'd just go whoop, can't touch me, bitch, can't touch me. But you know, that's that. What else? After the first and second round, which Rose won, beginning of the third and the third and the fourth. Those were like the championship experience of Joanna starts to shine through, where you see a lot of leg kicks, just literally chopping at Rose's legs, a little bit more combinations, more 1-2s. They were starting to hit more. Rose was not as fast, not as evasive as she was in the first two rounds. Maybe you could say because, you know, she's not the champion. Now you have to, she doesn't really have much experience of championship rounds or going to long distance. And Joanna's been doing that, going to 5 rounds, 4 rounds, 3 rounds, so many times. It's natural to her to go at that pace. You start to see her get a bit tired. She start to get more tagged by Joanna's combos. And that's the problem, and that's the thing with Joanna. As soon as Joanna starts to get a combo going, it's hard to stop. And then you keep on getting tagged. But Rose was able to survive. Got a few shots in. A couple of hooks in. Was able to tag her, but not very impressive. So fourth round and fifth round, No. Third round and fourth round were Joanna's, simply. Now, the fifth round is a bit different. This is where a lot of people could go either way on what you thought the fifth round was or how it went through, because in its entirety, the fight was close. The fight was very close. But, like, the fifth round, I had to give it to Rose, because, like, she was the more aggressive one, whilst Joanna landed kicks, a lot of way more kicks, and way more, maybe, jabs or crosses. Like, it was Rose's aggression, because she was not elusive at all, and she said, in the fight, I was a bit heavy, and coming into this fight, I was not as technical, even though she was technical, but what Rose decided to do is take the leg kicks, and plant her feet to do power shots. So her hooks were landing all constantly. Her fucking straights were landing constantly. And what all Joanna could do is land like simple, a few 1-2s, leg kicks. But I have to give it like the first two to Rose. The third and fourth to Joanna, and the fifth it goes to Rose. I feel like that's what it was. It could have went either way, but it was not like by a landslide that Rose was beating Joanna. It was not that, because she got tired in the third and fourth. But nah, in the fifth I have to give it to Rose, because I think she deserved it and she did way more to win. And Joanna's face was fucked up, man. It was just, it was fucked up. But at the end, she got, because at the end of the press conference, she said, I landed way more strikes, and the numbers don't lie, and all of this, and all you other strawweights are still the queen, which is true, because Joanna can still beat the fuck out of the rest of the division. But I don't think I don't think a rematch with Joanna or like Joanna versus a rematch with Joanna, a rematch with Rose or like a Joanna versus Rose 3 is gonna, nah, she's not gonna beat Rose soon. Rose might either still have the belt for a few more times. Wait, her next fight might be, I don't know, Jessica Andrade or maybe Karolina Kowalkiewicz. Why not? And these are two people that Joanna beat before. So let's say if she loses to either one of those two, Joanna could just go back and beat the title and take the title from them and be the champion again. Or Rose might beat them, and then Joanna can't really beat Rose like that. I don't know, because sometimes you get in the fight game, especially in the UFC, you get those people that they have your number. Like in the featherweight division, it was Jose Aldo with Frankie Edgar for years. Jose Aldo always had Frankie Edgar's number. Frankie Edgar couldn't figure out what the fuck to do with Jose Aldo. So I don't know. I wanna see what's in the what's in store for the women's strawweight division, because that's like the best division for the females, for the women's right now. I don't know. Bantamweight's kind of slow. It's not the same anymore. Holly Holm was supposed to be like a big thing, but that didn't really work out. And I think the next fight, I think for UFC 224, is going to be Raquel Pennington versus the champion Amanda. Why the fuck am I forgetting her last name? Amanda Nunes, yeah. So yeah, she's going to fight Amanda Nunes for the bantamweight title. I think Amanda's going to win, but you know, it's not really, it doesn't really get me hyped for 224, but I'll talk about it on the podcast, because you know, I'm back on my shit, bitch. But yeah, what else is there? Main event, Khabib versus Ayla Aquinta. Khabib beats the shit out of Balls of Steel, Ayla Aquinta. Still got a good reset to Ayla Aquinta. But this is how it went down in the fight. In the beginning, you see Ayla Aquinta, he's like a very, literally a boxing stance. Crunched low, hands high, not even jumping around, or just literally face to face with Khabib, and Khabib has like a similar stance. They're doing a little bit of striking here and there, and then just fucking Khabib just goes for a low single, and then Ayla Aquinta's trying to get away, but Khabib's like, nah, bitch, you ain't going nowhere, you get the fuck down.
And then it's Khabib just mauling Quinta for the first round. Second round, he does the same shit, just mauling Quinta. And even talking to Matt Serra, be like, yo, oh yeah, that's good stuff, la la la. Oh yeah, that's working. Oh, thank you, Matt. That's good advice, la la la. And Matt, oh no, I'm talking to Quinta. And then they have this discussion going on. Even in the fight, he's beating on Quinta. But Quinta, props to him. He was able to survive, not being too serious danger. You got to see that fucking Khabib could just switch from fucking back to the back to the to side control to fucking mount in seconds like water. He could just switch. He could just transition so easily. But props to all Quinto for surviving the first two. Then on the third round, that's when it gets curious, cause like, Khabib starts striking with fucking Ayala Quinta. And I'm like, Khabib, what are you doing? Like, motherfucker, if you grapple him, you could finish this fight. Ayala Quinta's fucked. And he keeps on jabbing Ayala Quinta. And Ayala Quinta's not even bothering to dodge in the first time. The first few times, he's just taking jabs. One, two, three. Even Khabib was counting. He's counting jabs. And then they're like, oh, yeah, I'll punch you four times now. And then, like, and then Ayala Quinta goes like, oh, yeah, hit me one more time. And then Khabib was like, ah, fuck it, he faints. He doesn't do it. Because he, at the end, he was like, oh yeah, I was practicing Muhammad Ali moves and shit. And I'm like, nah, man, you can't be striking because you never know. Quinta just busts up out of nowhere, fucking overhand, and you're on your ass. Which Quinta was striking a little bit more in the fight. And landed a few shots, but nothing too dangerous. Even when Khabib was landing, it was nothing too dangerous. Ayala Quinta was bleeding, but nothing, you know, nothing critical. Oh, what the fuck? Oh shit, it's the ice cream man. Ice cream man coming through with the podcast and shit. But yeah, bear with me though. Back to what I was saying. Khabib could have finished that fight. I don't understand why he couldn't finish that fight. Although I understand, oh, it was easy. People are saying, oh, Khabib could have did this and la la la. Khabib could have finished the fight anywhere. And I'm not saying he couldn't finish the fight. The man knows how to grapple. The man is the beast when it comes to wrestling and sambo and all that shit and ground and pound. He's a beast. I didn't see the reason why him to play around, because in my opinion, him playing around exposed a lot of holes in his game, especially in his striking and distance management and his chin, for other people to take advantage, like Tony, like Connor, like Max Holloway, if they ever do that again, like which he wants, by the way, but like Kevin Lee, even Nate Diaz, everybody got to see that you could take advantage out of Khabib striking wise, which I'll get to in a second, because apparently a lot of Khabib dick riders and all of those grapplers like say, oh, Khabib could have finished the fight, la la la, all of this, no, oh, you think you're gonna strike with Conor McGregor, you think he's gonna do that, la la la, he's not gonna do that, because everybody was criticizing me, I was criticizing, a friend of mine was criticizing, Joe Rogan criticized, I think, what's his face, Jimmy Smith was criticizing his striking. Everybody got on Joe Rogan's ass saying, oh, Joe Rogan doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, whatever, why he's criticizing Khabib, why is he just saying, for every little punch that Ayala Quinta throws and shit. But no, but Joe Rogan had a point, which I agree, is saying, like, there's chinks in his armor. Like, Khabib is not a perfect fighter. If it was Conor McGregor, let's say Conor McGregor was there, not saying he's not going to be taken down by Khabib. That's going to happen. Khabib can take anybody down. It doesn't matter. He fucking wrestles with DC, for God's sakes. But I'm just saying, striking-wise, he can be put down. And that's what I want. And that's what I want everybody to say. Because everybody going on Joe Rogan and say, oh, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Javier Mendez said, oh, you think we're going to strike with Conor McGregor? Of course not. We're not going to strike. Of course not, we're not going to do that, but every fight starts on the feet. And if Khabib is going to, because you can't do a takedown willy-nilly, you got to do a takedown, you got to set it up with something, with a jab 1-2, and then you duck for a double or a single, you got to start with that. And I'm saying, if you don't fix up that striking that he has, and that's this is managing, that's chin high, when he goes to do that feint,
That could be a easy left counter by Conor, or like a fucking elbow by Tony and shit like that. And I'm like, and also want to talk about, everybody be like, oh yeah, Conor McGregor can grapple. I'm just saying, y'all, come on, man. The man fought Chad Mendes, the man fought Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez couldn't really take him down like that. And even when he did, it was not for long. And everybody now, because Conor beat Eddie Alvarez, everybody like, oh God, Eddie Alvarez is not even a great fighter. But la la la, that's neither here or there. What else I want to talk about? I want to talk about what's after 223, because a lot of people kept on coming back and had a lot of thoughts about the fight. I feel that Khabib should fight Conor for the title in Russia, but depending on Conor's arrest or this file, whatever was going to happen with his assault case, we don't know when he's going to fight next. So Khabib should fight another guy, some guy like a warm-up or some shit like that. But in that case, it's Eddie Alvarez. Because I saw Eddie Alvarez talk about it and say, oh, I'm the king of the division. I could beat Khabib. I have everything that takes to beat Khabib. And like initially, if you think about it, you're like, oh, Eddie Alvarez is talking shit. But if you think about it, why not? There's nobody really there at the moment. Barboza got beat. Kevin Lee's gonna fight Barboza. Tony Ferguson is injured. Conor is out. Nate Diaz is out. I don't know. They don't even want to give Paul Felder a fight because he's unranked for some reason. Max Holloway is gonna go back to 145 to fight Brian. He's gonna fight Brian Ortega. So you have nobody really there to fight at the moment. So I'd say you give the fight to Eddie Alvarez, or you wait and see the winner of Dustin Poirier and Justin Gaethje, which is gonna be a fucking massacre, fucking war. And I'm gonna break that down. I'm gonna talk about it on the podcast next week, or this week, or whatever, whenever I can. But yeah, give the title to Eddie Alvarez. I think that's the like what makes sense for now. He's rested. He hasn't fought since Justin Gaethje beat him. He has his striking down. He has his wrestling down. He might get taken down. He might get beat up. But you know how Eddie Alvarez is. That guy just bites on his mouthpiece and goes. And you know that guy knows how to strike. That guy can knock him out if he wants to. So yeah, I think that's the next move. But oh yeah, also I forgot. Yeah. Khabib is Muslim, so he's gonna fast in September, for over the summer. So he'll probably be back in September. So, that's a nice one. I don't know, but yeah, give the fight to Eddie Alvarez. I think that's the next thing. Let me talk about the Khabib fight though, real quick, because I recorded this over here, but apparently it didn't fall through because I'm an idiot. But whatever. The Khabib fight. The Khabib versus Balls of Steel, I eloquent. That's not his fucking whatever, but, you know, that's why I call him now. Khabib just basically just mauls Ala Quinta in the entire fight. He, mind you, he was not ready. He was training for a three-round fight against Paul Felder. But, you know, still, Khabib just literally mauled him, grappled him in the first two rounds. He literally, Ala Quinta couldn't really do much. He was getting fucked up. Was able to defend though. Was able to defend a lot of those dangerous positions. Like he threatened the back. He threatened like a rear naked a couple of times. Ala Quinta was able to get out and basically survive. It's the first rounds for Ala Quinta was just basically survival. He just didn't. He just couldn't stop the takedowns. The third and fourth round. That's when it gets like very very tricky and gets very silly kind of for Khabib, because Khabib starts striking now, and he said in the press conference, oh yeah, I was just, because he was watching Muhammad Ali fights and shit, and he was like practicing Ali moves badly because he just kept on jabbing. And every now and again did like a leg kick, every now and again did a fucking 1-2. He even pulled a spinning back kick and shit. It was funny, but my thoughts are is that Khabib striking still not up to par. comparing to the guys that he has to fight, like the Tonys and the Conors and the fucking Nate Diaz and Max Holloway's and all that shit. His striking is not up to par. His hands are still low, and people kept on saying, "Oh yeah, you know, you think he's gonna strike with Conor? You think he's gonna strike with Tony? You think he's gonna do that? La, 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 la." No, he's not gonna do that. Of course not. He's not gonna do it. He's gonna grapple them, but every fight starts on the feet. Every fight starts on the feet, and I know. And to do a takedown, you gotta set that up with a jab, and you duck for a double leg, or you do a 1-2. And then you duck and you shoot for a single or double leg or some other type of takedown or like a body lock or some shit like that. You gotta do that, and you gotta have your hands have to be good enough to be able to strike. Cannot do that willy nilly, which I believe fighters like Conor, fighters like Tony Ferguson could take advantage of that fucking lack of striking that he has. And I want to also get into a thing that happened with Joe Rogan, because apparently people got into Joe Rogan saying like, "Oh, Joe Rogan, you being fucking biased or some shit, or you just talking shit to Khabib striking." Even Javier Mendez, the head coach of AKA and Khabib's camp, was saying like, "Oh yeah, Joe Rogan doesn't know what he was talking about." He was like, clearly Khabib is not a striker. We know that he's not a striker. We're not gonna strike with fucking Conor McGregor. We just did that." And also props to his camp, because he was saying to Khabib in like the end of the fourth and the fifth, like, "Yo, Khabib, stop. I know you've been striking, la la la, but get back to the game plan, back to fighting, back to the takedowns and finish the fight." But Khabib kept on playing around and whatever. And credit to him, because Al Quinta was not really doing much. He kept on doing like one punch around, didn't do a lot of combinations. He just didn't do nothing much other than that in the striking department. But that's not my point. Because Joe Rogan said, and Joe Rogan's opinion, and I agree with him, he said, like, "Oh, I'm a fan of combat sports, I'm a fan of Khabib," I'm paraphrasing, "but I'm a fan of Khabib, I would never disrespect, la la la, but when I see fights, I always look to see chinks in his armor, and on the fight, I saw a lot of chinks in Khabib's armor, in the striking department." And I agree wholeheartedly with that, because like I felt the same way. I'm like, you're not gonna fight like that. You're not gonna strike like that versus Tony, because Tony will clip you with an elbow, a kick, whatever, a punch. You're not gonna do that with Conor. He will do the same. So either Khabib just goes with like a grapple mentality and grapple the shit out of fucking Khabib and grapple the shit out of Tony and Conor, because that striking level is not gonna cut it. It's not gonna cut it. Alright, let's go and talk about what's next for 155. What's next for Khabib? What's next? The next fight's coming up. Now that Khabib has the title, now we figure out, oh, who's gonna be next, because he's gonna be like, since he's Muslim, he's gonna be like going through Ramadan, which means that you'll be out for a couple of months fasting, so he'll be back around September to fight and get back into training and all that shit. So who's next right now? Kevin Lee and Barboza were about to fight. Khabib just beat Barboza before fighting for the title. Kevin Lee lost to Tony Ferguson, so I don't know what they're gonna do next. Maybe he has another fight or two more fights to get back into title contention. Tony is injured. Conor is out. We don't know when he's coming back, because I don't know about his assault charges or some shit. We don't know when he's coming back, if he's coming back. Dustin Poirier is gonna fight Justin Gaethje, I believe, this weekend or next weekend, I don't know. Yeah, but I think it's this weekend. They're gonna fight this weekend for, and that could be another thing, because I've been talking. A lot of people been sleeping on Dustin Poirier, and I believe that Dustin Poirier is gonna be a UFC champion either this year or next year. I really believe in him. So either Khabib waits and fights the winner of Gaethje and Poirier, or he fights Eddie Alvarez, because Eddie Alvarez is another one. He's been talking a little bit, saying that he wanted to fight. He said he has what it takes to take out take out Khabib. He said, oh, Khabib is the king for now, but everybody knows I'm the one that could take him out. And I'm like, okay, Eddie Alvarez, I want to see you work. I want to see you do this. Khabib, it's not a bad matchup. If you think about it, Khabib is mainly a grappler. We already talked about his striking, but Eddie Alvarez is more of a mixed martial artist. He can grapple, he can strike. He has a good chin. He could take a punch. He could give a punch too. So that could turn into a dogfight. Why not? There could be someone for Khabib to fight before the McGregor fight, because that's like the big fight. That's the money fight. Also, the George St. Pierre fight. You said you wanted to George St. Pierre, but George St. Pierre said something that was like very, very fucking vague. I didn't understand what he meant. He like, oh, Khabib has some. I believe Khabib and the UFC have unfinished business. And then after then, I'll consider going fighting for the 155 title. I'm like, what the fuck you mean Khabib and the UFC have unfinished business? What is that about? I think you meant you and the UFC have unfinished business. Because then it would have made more sense. But Khabib, I don't know. It looks weird. But I'm hoping that 155 stays hyped as it is. Maybe it could make it a Max Holloway fight after the Brian Ortega one. I wouldn't mind that. But you know, we'll probably the MMA gods or the MMA media will keep us posted, so I'll talk about it on the podcast. Well, that's been it for today. It's been a minute since I did this. Ooh, still a bit rusty, but whatever. Next week I'll break down the UFC Fight Night Glendale, which is the Dustin Poirier and the Justin Gaethje fight. Who else is gonna fight? What's the fucking Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vittori. I'm really looking forward to that because I'm seeing a lot of hype about this Israel Adesanya. He's also another one that might be a great. People are calling him the next John Jones. He's like 6'3" in the fucking middleweight division. So I'm looking forward to that. Who else is gonna fight? The Karate Hardy is gonna fight some other chick. Honestly, not giving a fuck about that fight. I'll watch it. You know. The Karate Hardy had a lot of hype, but Michelle Watterson just didn't really deliver for me. Although I know that's gonna kill a friend of mine because he's a fan of Michelle Watterson. But I've been telling him, you know, she's not that great. Whatever. But yeah, that's what's next. I'll see you guys next week for the next episode, and I promise I'll be back on this fucking podcast shit, bro. Like for real, I'll be back on this shit. I'll be more episodes, more breakdowns, more my thoughts and opinions on news and everything related to MMA. But you know, it's been fun. It's been great. It's the Low Kick Theory podcast, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.